Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. These are God's words. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The key, of course, to the two verses that we have here and this entire section, which is from verses 12 through 21, is the exceeding glory and superiority of Jesus Christ our Lord. When we get to chapter 8 and the fact that there is no condemnation even now already for those who are in Christ Jesus, what we will see is the superiority of Christ is displayed in part because those who are in Christ by his Spirit now, who applies to us his resurrection life, we actually have begun loving God and desiring to obey him, something we never did before. And so there's going to be that transition from chapter 7 into chapter 8 where our desire to love God and obey him is in some ways a cause of great distress for us because we're not loving him like we should and we're not obeying him like we should. But the fact that we do it all shows that Jesus has done something that the law could not do. The law could tell us that we ought to desire to obey God, that we ought to love him. But it couldn't give us that desire and it couldn't give us that love, and Jesus has. And his Spirit has given us Christ and Christ's resurrection life and started to work the life of Jesus out in our lives. And so this section in Romans 5 is building off of that conclusion to the previous section, this rejoicing that we have in the hope, the certainty that we shall enter into God's glory, that which we had previously despised, and he has made us alive and brought us to faith, and we had fallen short of, but now we will be glorified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. We who have been counted righteous will at last be in a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells, and we will be righteous. We will be with the Son, the Lord Jesus, and we will be like the Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's the hope that we have. And so there was this rejoicing in God through our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 11. And all of this comparison between Adam and Christ from verses 12 to 21 has been to show how great, how glorious the Lord Jesus is, who is the one through whom we have been reconciled to God, the one through whom and in whom we rejoice in God. And now he is praising the wisdom of God in the way that he has brought this about in history. Because we didn't go straight from Adam to Christ. Between Adam and Christ was the introduction of the Mosaic Law. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So here's God's righteous and convicting purpose for the law, that the trespass might abound. We're already guilty of violating God's covenant with Adam and us in Adam. We sinned in him. We fell with him. We were condemned. We were made sinners. That had all already happened. And then God, in bringing Christ into the world, brings the covenant of grace through various administrations, including the administration of Moses, in which the law was introduced to do what? And here is one of the great purposes of the law, that the trespass, the offense, might abound. Because now we are violating more. We're not just sinning against God and his revealed character. We're not just sinning because we're sinners who have trespassed against the God's explicit law from the covenant of works. The covenant of grace has a law too, and we're sinning against that. And so the more from which Christ ultimately redeems us, the more he is glorified. So that's one way that our trespass abounds, that we are actually sinning against more full and explicit revelation of God's law. And also, our trespass abounds, we sin more against those things. So we sin against more, but we sin more greatly. And the reason is sin is so sinful that when we hear God's law, and he's going to get to this when he talks about coveting, like we heard about in our catechism lesson, sin is so sinful that when we hear what God's law says, the sin that is within us, and we ourselves as sinners before we come to Christ, when we hear God's law, we want to break it. And so sin is exposed for what it is, how wicked it is, how hostile to God, how hostile to what is good. And the law shows then the exceeding sinfulness of sin. So two ways. The introduction of the law increased the quantity of our sin, and the introduction of the law showed the exceeding sinfulness of our sin. But the purpose was not just that we would sin more and more sinfully. The purpose of the law was that grace would abound. So where sin abounded, he says in verse 20, grace abounded much more, or grace superabounded. His purpose, the goal of all things, has been to adopt those whom he is saving, to conform them to Christ, that he would be the firstborn among many sons in glory. That's been the purpose of all things since before time began, God purposing in himself to do that. And the place that the law then has, and the increasing of the trespass has, is then that wherever those whom he was going to justify and glorify in Jesus sin, grace must come along. Grace must give them life to believe in Jesus. Grace must give them that faith in Jesus. Grace must give them union with Christ, Christ himself and all his benefits. Grace must give them not just a righteous standing before God, but a new state of having a new nature that is going to win, and a former nature, that remaining sin, that is going to be eradicated and eliminated. And so there are all of these certainties about the grace of God, where grace is going to overwhelm sin. So what happens if sin increases, and it increases so much that it's abundantly? What happens when sin abounds? Well, for those that God is saving, grace superabounds. And that's been the point. God's gracious and ultimate purpose for the law is that grace would superabound, which shows the glory of Christ, his crowning achievement. And the reason we use the word crowning is because of the verb reigning here in verse 21. So that as sin reigned in death, in spiritual death, and people in this world are sinners, they show that they're spiritually dead. Every sin that they commit from their sinfulness is a new declaration that they are spiritually dead. And sin reigns in death. Every sin an unconverted person commits says, "Long live the King!" Sin reigned in death. But there's a new king for the believer. He's not a subject of King Sin. He's now a subject of King Grace. He's a subject of King Jesus. And so it says, as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So earlier he said, death reigned in verse 14. And as death reigned, verse 21, sin reigned in that death. But now Christ reigns, and grace from Christ reigns. And how do we see it? Grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. Death has been defeated, our spiritual death. Believers are made alive. They have not only this righteous standing with God, but a new self, a new state of our existence, that we love him, we want to obey him. And that says, Jesus has been here, and sin doesn't rule these people anymore. Jesus' grace rules these people. They love him. They want to obey him. And not only do they want to obey him, but one day they will. You can't start, you can't have your righteous standing already, which can never be lost, and make a beginning in righteous living already, which cannot fail to be completed, without it being completed. And so as we have our righteous standing and we've begun our righteous living, we know where that ends. It has to end in eternal life. So you have this through righteousness to eternal life. The way that we have been brought from the reign of sin into the reign of grace is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so every desire of your heart to love God, every obedience, every right and good thing that you do, it says, long live the King. Long live King Jesus. This is the reign of his grace. You have the BG and AG, before grace and the year of his grace in your life. Thankfully, praise God, for many of you, you might not even remember before grace, but you are in the new kingdom of your life, the new season, the new season of history of your life, where you've entered the period of the empire of grace, and we've been delivered from the empire of sin, and we desire that everything we feel, everything we think, everything we do, would say, long live King Jesus. This is the empire of his grace. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for your design to glorify the Son and yourself in him, and your Spirit with you and with him, that this design was by saving sinners, even such sinners as would respond to your good law by sinning more. And we confess that apart from you and apart from your grace, we are dead. And we are under the reign of sin, subjects of sin, and happy to be so. But we thank you that you did not leave us to be the willing subjects of sin, because it was your desire that grace would superabound, and that Christ, the glorious King, would be praised and glorified by the reign of his grace. And we pray that you would make us willing subjects of grace, willing subjects of Jesus, that our whole life would be a showing forth of the goodness and glory of our King. For we ask it in his name. Amen.